You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to James chapter 1 is where we're going to be. So Cypress, welcome as well. And to be able to connect us all together across our city. But on James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22 is where we're going to be. And then in your listening guide from last week's message where we talked about anger, I put a QR code there that's got some resources that our counseling center has put together. If that's a challenge for you, you can hit those resources and find out a little bit more about that as well, which is awesome. But we're going to see here, James is going to connect the widow and the orphan in a few verses. It's going to be a while into the message, but we're going to see that connection. But we're going to begin in verse 22. Now, what we love about James and what we've been talking about James is it's a very action-based book. One commentator said, you should read James standing up because this is a book of action. This is a book of doing. So we're going to end up here. We're going to see that he wants us to be doers of the word. And then he's going to give us three clear things of how to be actively pursuing and how we can really walk in the ways of obeying the Lord in these things. So look at verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like someone who looks at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, he goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom, underline that in your Bible if you write in your Bible, the perfect law of freedom, and perseveres in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works. This person will be blessed in what he does. Here's what he's saying here. When we get to this first section here, he's saying, I don't want you to just be a hearer. Now, being a hearer of the word's a good thing. That's what you're doing right now. You're hearing the word. You're hearing me speak about the word, to teach about the word here. That's a great thing. That's what Life Bible Study is, hearing about the word. Really what worship is, that the word is coming through song, all different things. Being a hearer of the word is good. But what he's saying is you can't just be a hearer of the word. You've got to also be a doer of the word. There's got to be an activity that happens. Be a hearer and be a doer. So it's not, well, I'm a hearer. Well, she's a doer. No, we're all to be hearers and doers of the word. It says in Romans chapter 2, verse 13, for the hearers of the law are not righteous before God, but the doers of the law will be declared righteous. Think about it like this. If you were to ask your child, you would say, hey, clean your room. And they were to say, okay, I'll clean my room. And then you went back a day later and the room wasn't clean. What happened? Or if you just say to them, hey, clean your room. And they said, I don't really feel like it. And you went back an hour later and the room was clean. Which one actually did the will? Well, it's given the same illustration in Matthew chapter 21. It says this, what do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first one and said, my son, go work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I don't want to. Ever heard that? I don't want to. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the man went to the other son and he said the same thing. He said, I will, sir. He answered, but he didn't go. Jesus asked this question, which of the two did his father's will? And everyone said the first one. And Jesus said to them, truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes will enter the kingdom before you. So he's speaking to the Pharisees and he's basically saying this. Now, which one? One guy said he didn't feel like it and he did it. One guy said, I'm going to do it and he didn't do it. Which one obeyed the Father's will? Well, the one that actually did it. He says, well, this is why I'm telling you, Pharisees, the tax collectors and sinners are going to get to heaven before you because they're doing it. This lady's weeping at my feet, wiping up her tears with my hair, and you guys are making sure that the law is taken care of. He said, I don't want you to just be a hearer of the word. I want you to be a doer of the word. Let me ask you this question. Which is the spiritually mature person? The one who knows 90% but only does 10, or the one who knows 10% and only does 90? It's the one that's really actively doing that. And so we don't want to just be hearers of the word. And we can get, in our realms, we can get really, really churched. We can get so much hearing, hearing, hearing. But what God's saying, I want you to be hearing. Yes, I'm not negating that. But I want you to be a doer of the word as well. And I don't say this with any upsetness in my heart. I'm just telling you the facts. After being in ministry for 30 years, there's a lot of people that have heard that are not doing. A lot of people that know the Bible backwards and forwards, but they're not real nice on email. And so you've got to be able to say, I want to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word, because the doer of the word is like somebody that's looked into the mirror and sees who they are and what needs to be changed and what God needs to work on. When we look at the Bible, when we read the Bible, this verse in James is telling us that we are looking into a mirror. And here's what's great is we're looking into the mirror. We're hearing the great things of God loves us and how amazing he thinks of us and just all the great things. But we also hear things like, ooh, I need to do that. Ooh, I need to stop that. Ooh, I need to honor God in that. There's a doing of it as well that we need both of those things. So I just ask my own heart, am I a hearer of the word or am I a doer of the word? Am I getting it done? Am I following through on what God wants done? There's a time to study your Bible and there's a time to do your Bible, right? And we can study and we can know the thing backwards and forwards and quote it in Hebrew and quote it in Greek, but we need to be able to say, we're going to get this done and we're going to make a difference and we want to be doers. This is a catalyst. And so we look into the mirror. Now, it's interesting on this mirror. It says that one looks into the mirror and then he does not do it and he walks away and he forgets what he looks like. That word for forgetfulness isn't, oh, I didn't know my hair was parted on the side. Oh, I didn't realize I had gray hair, brown hair, blonde hair. I didn't know that this was that. It is this. It means that a person looks into the mirror and he neglects to do anything about what he saw. See it? So you can look in the mirror and go, I don't look so good, and just turn and walk away. And then start telling everybody, I look so good. Well, that's self-deception, right? What's happening right there? Or you can look into the mirror and it says, and the one who looks intently into the mirror, what does that mean? That means to stoop down, to bend down. Have you ever taken a little grandson or granddaughter or little boy, little girl, little kid, and you're gonna go on a walk and you think, let's get outside, let's go on a walk. And you realize to go 10 feet takes about 45 minutes. We went on a walk the other day. Kelly and I love to walk, and we saw this sweet grandmother and with these two little kids, and we had our little dog, and of course they wanted to pet the dog, and we had made it a mile before they had made it down the street at all. Why? Because every one of those little cracks in the sidewalk, every flower, every seed on the ground was intently looked at, bent over and looked at by that little kid. And they walked slowly, slowly, slowly. Hey, you know what? Walk through this thing slowly. Walk through this thing slowly. Read this. Hey, it'd be better for you to read one verse and do it than to read 20 verses and not do it. Look intently into it. And when you look into this mirror, you'll see some things that are wrong, but that's why Jesus died on the cross for you. And you'll see some things that are right, and that's the blessings of God for you. And let me just say it like this, as practical as I can. The more you look into this mirror and do it, the more you will like looking into the mirror in your bathroom. Because you'll look into that mirror and it won't be, okay, I don't have as many wrinkles or my hair looks better. It's not, that doesn't matter. You'll realize you're a person with purpose. You're a person that God loves. You're a person that God has got a design for you, that he's changing things in your heart. He's moving in you and doing great things. And it doesn't mean you're like, hey, you're awesome. It just means that you're able to look and you look in this mirror and then look in that mirror. And some of us are looking too much in this mirror and we're telling ourselves lies. We're believing lies. We're beating ourselves up. Many of us are far harder on ourselves than God is. Far more grace with God than we have for our own selves. Look into this mirror and determine and to see God's plan, what God can do. Yes, James says, let's read this standing up because we got some things to do. And he's a very convicting author. But let's walk in a way that we're not worried about all the trappings of religion. We're doing it and we're living it out. Let me show you a quote that I think is a great quote here by William Barclay. He's a famous commentator. This is what he says. Whoop, that's not William Barclay. All through history, people have tried to make ritual and liturgy a substitute for sacrifice and service. So James is saying, look, I don't want you to make sure everything's perfect. I want you to live this thing out in sacrifice and service. So he's going to give us, in just a moment, we're going to get three things that we can do. But to be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. I'll tell you an illustration just from my own life. I became a Christian when I was 16 years old. I was a junior in high school. I was partying, doing crazy, wild stuff. Somebody told me about Jesus, as I'm telling you today. And I went, wow, that can fill the hole in my heart. That can make a difference in my life. Jesus can forgive my sins. God can give me purpose. I can be used by God. Wow, give me some of that. And so I had a good conversation, prayed and received Jesus as my savior. But, you know, it takes a while. You still got some rough edges. churches. And so I was a young believer. And I remember one of my friends, one of my best friends, my party friends, before I made my change with the Lord. And so I remember hearing him talk to one of my teachers in class and said this, "Oh yeah, Greg's a big time church guy. He goes to church all the time. He's a big time believer." And the teacher said this, "Really?" And it convicted my heart. Thought, well, I'm a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word in that class. Students, you got to witness to your teachers as well as your friends, your family, and all folks. And in that moment, I went, you know what? In third period, I must not be shining with the Lord. I'm hearing it. I can say it all. I'm doing all student stuff. But in that aspect, I wasn't living it out. And so I just ask you, is there a place in your life that you're a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word? And the people in your life in that area would be shocked to know the love that you have for Jesus because it's just not coming out in your life. He's going to give us three things. I love James because he's a straight shooter. James is going to give us three things, and each one of them are going to be convicting, okay? But each one of them, we can celebrate the blessing of them as well. The first thing is this. It's found in verse 26. Look at what it says. If anyone thinks himself religious, it's the only time, interesting, that word is used in the New Testament. It means fearing of God. If he thinks himself fearing of God or religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and he deceives himself. So here we have, James is saying, doers talk differently. Our communication. So what's our doing? Our communication is doing. So he says, look, if you think that you fear God, if you're saying that you fear God and you don't talk in the ways of people that fear God, then you need to think about that. You need to look in the mirror and understand that. Now, he's not just talking about cussing. He's also talking about lying. He's talking about anger. He's talking about yelling and screaming at folks. He's talking about all of those things. He's talking about not being grateful. He's talking about slander and gossip and boasting in our own pride. There's a lot of things our tongue can do. Now, in chapter 3 of James, we'll get to in a couple months, it's all about the tongue. I mean, he's going to go for it again, okay? So this is just our first round at this. So here he's saying, I want you, if you're going to be a doer of the word, I want you to talk differently. I want you to communicate differently. I want your words to be encouragement. I want you to be seasoning salt, a sweetness to people that hear. It says in Matthew chapter 15, it says, it's not what goes into the body through the mouth that makes you undefiled. It's what comes out of the mouth that makes you unclean. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. And so we've got to be able to say, do we have the right words that are coming out of our mouth? And there's a lot of words coming out of our mouth. You know that the average user of TikTok spends 89 minutes a day on TikTok? Hour and a half a day, hearing other people's words, watching dances, I'm sure as well, saying words, all of those sort of things. Do you know that on X, 5 million tweets or whatever we call them nowadays are sent per day? 500 million are sent per day. Do you know that 23 billion text messages are sent worldwide every day? 23 billion, 270,000 every second are sent. What are our words online? What are our words in our texts? What are our words in our emails? What are our words from our own mouth? Doers talk differently. Doers talk differently. And I just wonder, how's your words? What's the things that are happening in your life? What's coming out? And I'm not talking about you stub your toe in the dark and something comes out. I'm talking about just the normal, you know, stuff's coming out, right? We all got to have a bummer word somewhere along the way, right? But what's coming out of my heart and what's coming out of my mouth and what's the consistent thing that's happening in that? Is it consistently lies? Is it consistently pride? Is it consistently boasting? Is it consistently cussing? Is it consistently anger? What's coming out? Because the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. Now, let me tell you a story that happened in my life, and there's going to be a tension moment and then everything's going to resolve, okay? I'm just putting you at ease, okay? So I'm the worst fixer of things known to man, all right? I support the local economy by calling people to fix things at my house. That's how I do that. So I see it as a gift of giving is what it is, not a gift of fixing is what I have. So if something breaks in the house, then Kelly lets me know, somebody lets me know, and I just call whatever and I get it. So we had an issue that happened at the house that we needed some fixing, so I called this company, and I was so impressed by their customer service. I was like, wow, this is incredible. They sent me an email, they sent me a text, they sent me a phone call. Everybody was so professional. I was like, this is amazing. I'm gonna like keep this and like really learn from this, some leadership principles, how good this is. This is really, really incredible. And so then the guy calls, it's time for him to come. And so he's going to come to the house. And you know, you kind of got the, from 10 to 2, we're going to call or come by the house. And you kind of just in your pride, you want to be like, well, maybe I won't be there from 10 to 2, right? I got stuff to do too. But you just take it. You just know how that's the world works. But he's going to call and say, hey, I'll be there in a couple hours or whatever it is. So he calls and it goes to my voicemail. And I'm listening to the voicemail in my car, so I can press a little button and say, you know, voicemail, and so it'll read it to me or say it back to me. So his voicemail comes through the speaker of the car as I'm driving, and he is so nice. He says, Mr. Matty, I'm going to be there. I'm so excited about this. And I'm like, that's great, no problem. And he's just great. And I'm thinking, this is incredible. But then he forgets to hang up the phone at the end of the voicemail. And I'm driving. I'm not trying to catch anybody doing anything wrong. I'm just trying to get something fixed at that. I'm driving, and then he starts cussing like you never heard cussing before. Then he starts using the Lord's name in vain like you never heard it before. And I mean, I hadn't even heard the Lord's name used in vain in this way. I mean, it was like new things happening, right? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm driving, and I hang up, or, you know, it ends, and I'm like, what do I do with this? You know, I'm not going to be home at the time. And is this a bad guy coming to the house? Do I need to go home? I mean, you know, you're kind of thinking as a husband as well. And I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And so I think, okay, I got three choices. One, I could just do nothing and go, hey, who cares? I got other stuff to do. Two, I can call his boss and say, hey, you know, your guy did this, this, and this. Or three, maybe it's a ministry opportunity. And so I pray and just say, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I felt like the Lord said, well, I want you to call him back. So I call him back. And I get on the phone with him and I say, hey, man, I'm so glad you're coming over. I appreciate it, you know, so much. Look forward to meeting you. You know, that'll be great. I said, hey, I just want you to know something. I want you to know before I even start, I'm not going to tell your boss. You're not going to be in trouble. This is between me and you. I just want to be your friend for just a second. And so he's like, okay, you know, I mean, where is this going? And I said, well, when you were leaving a voicemail, you didn't hang up and you used the Lord's name in vain tremendous amount of times in some really vulgar ways. And I just want you to know I'm a pastor. Uh-oh. I said, I'm a pastor and I don't believe anything happens by chance. I think everything happens for a reason. And I think for whatever reason, God had you call me and you didn't hang up, and that's the deal. He said, well, what happened is the gas thing was still in the car when I drove the truck off and it popped out. And I said, okay, I got that. I said, whatever reason, I said, but here's what I want you to know. I want you to know this. I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. God has a plan for your life. And you're a sharp guy, I can tell, but this isn't gonna get you very far in life being like this. And I want you to, instead of using the Lord's name in vain, I want you to know he loves you so much, you can turn to him in prayer. And so I want to encourage you that you when you use God's name, you use it to call out in prayer, not to cuss. I'm not going to tell your boss. I just want to tell you I love you. I want to tell you God loves you, and you can call to him in prayer. What are your thoughts? He was real quiet. He goes, well, I don't think I've ever had a conversation like this before in my life. But thank you. Thank you. And I said, okay, man, it's cool. It's between me and you. I'm not telling your boss. I'm just going to tell thousands of people at the church. Right on. I mean, when you get a good illustration, you got to use it, brother. I mean, yeah. And he said, you know, that's good. And I said, I'm going to be praying for you. And don't worry about a thing. You just think about these things. And I hung up the phone. And he did a great job fixing what we needed fixed, and everything's fine. But it was in that moment, I didn't sense he was a believer in the Lord. But what if he would have been a believer in the Lord and that's what I got? James has got a problem with that. So he says, if we're going to be doers of the word, there can't be lies coming out of our mouth. There can't be foul coming out of our mouth. There can't be taking the Lord's name coming out of our mouth. There can't be boasting coming out of our mouth in pride. You see what he's doing? He's saying, if you're going to really do this thing, there's going to be some crucifixion of flesh that happens. And that's going to be the overflow of the heart is going to come out of your mouth. Now, we all got to have a bummer word. We all get aggravated. We all get in bad situations. I know that. But I'm just talking about, are we living a life that we're doers of the word of God, so that we shine with Jesus? And if not, James says, I want you to look in the mirror. The second thing that he does, and I'm so grateful that our church is doing a great job on this. The second point for you is this: doers care differently. Not only do we talk differently, we care differently. Our conduct is different as believers. I want to show it to you in verse 27. And this is a great, great place. Verse 27, straight shooter. James is a straight shooter. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this. Going to church every week? Nope. Singing songs? Nope. Is to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That an amazing thought there. He says, okay, here's your conduct. I talked about our commentary, our speech, our comments. Doers talk differently, but doers of the word of God also care differently. So he says, I want you to care differently. So the widows and the orphans in their day were bypassed and just by the wayside. They couldn't provide for society. They couldn't do anything to help anybody else. They were impoverished, all of those sort of things. He says, I want you to be a doer and I want you to do things differently. Here's where your religion hits the ground. It's when you're caring for people who can't care for you. Now, you can live in Houston, Texas, and you can say, well, I don't know any widows. Well, I don't know any orphans. And that could happen. There's no doubt. It's a big city. But what God is saying here through James is, I want you to care for people who can't bless you back. You see it? I want you to care for people that are poor. I want you to care for people that are in a bad way. I want you to care for people that are that in a way they can't bless you back. So it's not talking about, hey, be nice to your clients, because your clients can bless you. That's not what we're saying. Be nice to the popular kids at school. That's not what we're saying. It's saying reaching out to the kids at school that maybe aren't as popular or maybe don't have as many friends, can't really do anything for you. It might actually mess up your social status to be a doer of the word of God. But it says you'll be blessed by God. I'd rather be blessed by God than thought well of by man, wouldn't you? And so here he's saying there's a doer of the word of God, and the doers in particular, the orphan and the widow. Now, I love this about our church. I love that we've gotten to this passage, and as your pastor, I don't have to start making stuff up at this point. I don't have to go, man, orphan, widow, I don't think we've done anything. What do we do? I'm going to tell you exactly some things that we're doing in our church. Because here's what I want you to know. I don't want you to just say, when somebody asks, what church do you go to? I don't want you to just say Houston's First Baptist. I want you to be able to say, let me first tell you what kind of church I go to. Let me tell you what kind of church I go to. Well, what denomination? No, I'm not talking about what denomination. I'm talking about what we do as a church. This is what our giving does. We don't give to the church. We give through the church to do ministry. So let me give you a couple examples from widows and orphans, and then we're gonna just cheer like crazy people because we're so excited about what's happening. Legacy 68.5, it's a ministry that we have. We started in 2008. It's based on Psalm 68.5, that the orphan and the widow would be loved by the Lord is basically what that's saying, that the orphans would find home and the widows would find care. And so being loved by the Lord in that way. And so let me tell you about what we've been doing for kids that are in need. Since 2008, we have been able to impact the lives of 500 families, helping with 230 children being adopted from 26 different countries. In that time, and we don't ask for it, it just happened. I mean, I'm telling you, it just happens. We have had about $2 million. We're close to the $2 million mark, 1.968, so about $32,000 away from $2 million that have come in that we've been able to utilize and put forth into kids being adopted and cared for. Now, also to care for foster care kids, to care for adoptive kids, and then kinship families. That was a new word to me a couple years ago. That means like the grandmother takes in a kid that maybe the parents can't help, or an aunt and uncle. It's their kin, but now they're being able to receive this child. And so we've been helping with that. Now, it doesn't just end once the child's in the home. There's a lot of care that has to happen. So we've been able to give $300,000 in grants of post-adoption care to be able to do that. We had a big initiative called Kainos. It's the Greek word for new. We completed it a while back, but we raised a whole lot of money to do a whole lot of things. And one of the things we did was called the Oaks, and it's right over on Long Point, just north of the Loop campus. And the Oaks is a place where people were going all over the city to get care for adoption, foster care, and kinship. We said, let's bring it all together. We have a place there that we can do it, and let's make that happen and have our staff there. And it's really one of the first in the nation, might be one of the only in the nation. And people are coming to us, focused on the family, came to us to see what we're doing, kind of thing. And so we're able to bring all these things together. And since September, it opened up September, not even a year. Or wait, what year, what month is it? No, yes, not even a year. Gosh, it's been a long year. It felt like September. So just a few months in September, we have provided care. And I want you to go crazy after this, for 548 appointments of families since September. Can we just go crazy for all that stuff? It's awesome. It's our heart. It's our heart. And we can help you. If you're thinking about adoption, if you're all right, we can help you. We can help you in a lot of ways. We want to. Far past money, we can help you with love and counsel in those ways. One mom put it like this, talking about the Oaks. She said, it's difficult to put into words the incredible impact and blessing that the Oaks has been for our family. We went from having 4 counseling appointments each week in 4 different areas of the city to now being able to all attend our counseling sessions on the same day, at the same time, at the same location. Thank you to Legacy 68.5 team for the vision they had for this incredible center. Thank you for the generous people of Houston's First Baptist, that's us, who gave to make the vision a reality. We truly believe the Oaks will make a difference and an impact in generations to come. Man, isn't that great? We're part of that. So we're reading James. Yeah, let's cheer for that. Cypress, cheer as well. But not only that, James says the orphans and the widows. So what about the widows? Let me tell you about the widows. We've been doing some great things with widows as well. We're a part of a thing called Mission Dignity. There's a group called a Guidestone. It's kind of the Southern Baptist entity of all the financial things and all that sort of stuff. They have a ministry called Mission Dignity, in which they help basically retired ministers and widows by helping to provide for them. And about 60% of them are widows of pastors. Okay, small, I want you to think, not big church like we do, small church. This lady, this man, she's been playing the organ. He's been preaching the sermons for 50 years. He's gone on to heaven, and she's got some needs. And this ministry comes through, and they help with those ladies. 25% of these widows are over 85 years old. There's 47,000 Southern Baptist churches. 47,000. There are 6 that have given to this ministry more than $500,000. Guess what? We are in here. We're one of the 6, is what I'm telling you. Out of 47,000, I don't say that with any pride. I just want you to feel 47,000 churches doing great things. God bless them. Amen. We've got different resources than a lot of those churches. There's 6 in the country that have given over $500,000. And 2 weeks ago, I got a text from the CEO of Guidestone said, hey, y'all just crossed the $500,000 mark. That's incredible. Way to go. Thank you so much for your support of these amazing ladies. Is that incredible to think about that? So, so cool. Let's cheer for that. Come on. A couple other things. Widows Benevolence Fund. We have over $300,000, almost $400,000 in a benevolence fund that we help widows stay in their homes. When their garage door breaks, when their air conditioning breaks, when their plumbing can't, it doesn't work right, we come in and we help them to do those things and to partner with folks to help in, you know, pro bono ways, but also in paid ways to be able to help in those ways. Because we don't want these ladies to lose their husband and lose their house. Let's go in there. Let's be the church. Let's be doers of the word. Well, what does y'all's church do for widows? I don't know. Pastor talks about it. That's a hearer. Doer of the word of God. Doer of the word of God. We've got about 500 active widows or widows in our active ministry membership, and our deacons are serving 237 of them. to just give you a praise of how well of a job our deacons are doing. We do a thing here with our widows as well called Men Serve. And our Men Serve ministry, I'll just kind of roll some pictures here as I tell you about it. So I want you to be able to see these pictures here that we have. There's William Barclay writing commentaries and also ministering as well. Men Serve, we started this in our men's ministry, and it meets every other month, six times a year. We usually have about 150 men that go out on a Saturday morning. It takes the good part of a Saturday to be able to serve these ladies on doing honey-do lists, to help them with their yard, to help them fix things, whatever it is. And let me tell you who receives the biggest blessing. The guys do. They make, those widows make the best little lemonade and biscuits and cakes, and they just bringing out stuff to them to just keep those guys hydrated and loved on. It's amazing. It's amazing. We love, and all the widows are able. So if you're a widow and you need some help, let us know. We'd love it. We'd love to help you. And I love that James says, hey, this is pure and undefiled religion, that you help the orphan and the widow. And here's what I love about our church. We got something to say at the end of the sentence. And that's a blessing. That's not pride. It's not pride. That's an honor that we get to be a part of such a blessing, blessing, blessing. What a joy. We want to live in a way that we care differently. We care differently. Now, I'll give you one stat. Pew Research, they said this. When it comes to helping the poor, 65% of highly religious people, that would be what they would call the church, say they have donated money, time, or goods to help the poor in the past week, compared to 41% of all other U.S. adults. So it means that the church in America, 65% of people in church are making a difference. And if you give to the church, you're doing that. You're part of that. 41%. God bless the generosity of our nation. We got a generous nation. But I'm just telling you, the church really shines when we have those things to make a difference. So I ask you this, and then we'll jump to our next point, and we'll wrap up our message together. Are you helping people that can't help you? You can do that through your giving, sure, but what about the people that maybe aren't as cool as you or have as much as you, or they do a different job in your office? Are you kind to them? Do you care for them? Do you pray for them? Do you know their names? Do you love them in a great way? I hope you do, because it's a blessing to you. Give you a last story and we'll jump to the last point. Kelly and I, on my day off, we typically eat lunch together. It's kind of a date lunch is what we like to do. And so that's a great time. And then one of my love languages is the car wash. I love the car wash. It's a love language for me. And so I have a season pass. I just go through and I wave at my friends there. And so I come through and I may go through twice. If it didn't get it good enough, I'm just going to, you know, it's a place of instant gratification. So I'm going to come through. So we get there. So we go through the car wash and Kelly and I are there. And if you remember a message a few months ago, I talked about we always kiss in the car wash. So somewhere when that soap hits, that happens right there. That's probably why I love the car wash, you know? It's a blessing. So we get in the car wash, and so we're going through, and we come out of the car wash, and we're heading out, and we're driving down this road. You know, Houston's very diverse. So we're driving down this road, and this lady's coming down the street, and she's an older lady, and she's got like a cart kind of thing behind her. And she's got stuff on her head. I mean, it looks like a foreign country kind of thing. And she's bent over this heavy stuff and she's walking down the street. And we're in our newly washed car, SUV, driving down the road. And I look at her and I see her. And I keep driving. And then I get about block one, my heart's getting touched. No. And I get to block two. You ever done this? You just keep saying, no, that's not God. Second block, I said, Kelly, we're going to turn around. We're going to see if we can help that lady. And Kelly said, sure. So we turn around. We go back. We pull back into the car wash. I wave at all my friends. Hey, how y'all doing? What's up? Park the car. I get out of the car. Kelly's watching and praying as I get out. And we walk up. And so I say to the lady, hello, ma'am. And then I kind of looked just to thought, well, maybe she speaks Spanish. So I said, señora. Puede ayudar? Can I help? I think is what I said. I might have said, I don't know what I said, but I said it with a nice voice. It's a very nice voice. And so I said, can I help you? Is there anything? Can we help you? Is there anything? And I'm ready to load her stuff in the back of our car and drive her across here. She said, that's what we got to do. I'm ready to buy her. I'm ready. Whatever we got going on, I'm ready. And she looks at me, and I smile and say again, and she does this. and keeps on walking. And I say, are you sure? And keeps on walking. So I get back in the car, we pray for her, and we drive on. But here's the point. It doesn't matter if she receives the help. God told me to help. See the difference? Because we can justify ourselves that, well, they don't want it, I don't want it. God told me in my heart on block two, I'm not going to be the kind of guy that watches an older lady struggle walking down the street. Not in a danger situation. It's broad daylight. She's not going to do anything to me. I'm going to be a guy. You're going to be a guy, gal. Then when God tells you to do something, we do it. It's not rocket science. Be doer of the word, not just hearer of the word or preacher of the word. Be a doer of the word. Care differently. Last point, I'm out of time, but it's good stuff. Doers live differently. Doers live differently. Look at verse 27, the end of it as well. To look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. To keep oneself unstained to the world. Our character. He says, I want you to live differently. I want you to live differently. And I want you to live with character. Keep yourself unstained from the world. Now, as we close, hear this. How do you typically get a stain? I typically get a stain because I wasn't paying attention and I wasn't being careful. Typically how it happens, right? I'm carrying too much. I'm eating too fast. How does a stain really set in? Stain sets in when you don't do anything about it. But if you get that, did it at a restaurant just this week. I took something and boop, right there. I put my napkin in the, got some water and I did it like that and it turned out just fine. In sin, isn't it true that we often are just not paying spiritual attention and we give in to the temptation and our words just start flowing and our actions just start flowing? But isn't it also true when we do that, Jesus Christ, the living water, has washed us clean and can get that stain out. And so when I look into the mirror of this word, I can see some things I need to be doing and some things I need to stop doing. And I can also see when I get it wrong, Jesus forgives me and loves me and died on the cross for me. Do you see it? And the last thing I want to tell you, I had you underline it because I wanted to end with this. It's back a couple verses. It says this, and we're going to close. It says, verse 25, but anyone who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom. That, my friend, is a beautiful description of the Old Testament and New Testament. The perfect law, Moses, Ten Commandments, all the Old Testament law, of freedom. Jesus fulfilled the law. And when we trust in Christ, we get righteousness from God. So James says, look into the perfect law. There are rights and wrongs. Of freedom, Jesus can take out any stain of any sin. You see it? So let's be doers of the word with what we say, with how we care, and how we live. And you know what'll happen? It says right there, we're gonna be blessed. It's gonna be better for us if we walk these things out than if we walk in our own way. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. Thank you for James, A Straight Shooter, a book we should read standing up. Let us do something about it this week. What do we need to do? Don't let us hear the word on Sunday and walk away from it on Monday. Let us do it. Father, we know you only got to tell us once. You don't have to tell us five times. You're God. You tell us once, we should do it. And so we just come, Father, and we ask you, speak to our hearts. Church, Cypress, Loop, just ask you, is there anything God's told you that you're not doing? Anything God's told you that you're not doing? Do it. Trust him. Live it out. Father, we love you. Thank you for James. He doesn't mix words. He's a straight shooter. And we need that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.